everyone else worshipped idols. Under these circumstances, it was very difficult to continue to worship the Lord God. Not only was it against the tithe, but it was also subject to persecution and perhaps death. But this widow still chose to continue to follow her husband's God. And this widow had made the wisest and the best decision, which is to seek prophet Elisha and present her trouble before him. But again, I would like to ask you, have you ever felt that you cannot bring your trouble to God and to seek him, his help sometimes? You see, if the trouble we face was caused by our own foolish mistakes or caused by giving in to temptations or old habits, etc., we would feel that we don't deserve God's help and therefore struggle to bring our troubles to God. If this is you, your wisest and best decision still is to seek God's help. Think about Adam and Eve. They put themselves in a pickle by not listening to God. Should they go to God for help? Would they go to God for help? They felt so guilty and naked, physically and emotionally, that they hid in the bush. But what did God do? God covered them with clothes. And yes, God announced the curse on them and kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. But he also prophesied and promised a future conqueror. So, should I return to God and ask for help when my trouble was caused by my stupidity or by giving in to temptations? And again, answer again is yes. Another example, Peter loved Jesus so much that he swore he would die for Jesus. And guess what? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And before he could ask for forgiveness, Jesus had died on the cross. It is like having a big argument with your loved one and then they died and you had no chance to say sorry and or to say that you do love them. It's such a tragic situation. And how much guilt and shame would Peter have felt? But Jesus forgave Peter. He knew that Peter and all other disciples would stumble and fall and deny him. They understood their weaknesses. We all stumble and fall, but we don't want to be like Judas, who chose to die in his own guilt. We would rather to be like Peter, choose to return to Jesus for forgiveness and strength. Now, Elisha replied to the widow, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Since olive oil was the most used oil in Israel, the Bible translate as a jar of olive oil, but original language did not have the word olive. So please pay attention to the way this widow replied. "Your servant has nothing there at all, except a small jar of olive oil." Chinese translation is the other way around. It's like, "I have a jar of oil and nothing else." You know, feel quite sad. But this way, which is actually the original Hebrew order, make us see that the widow thought she had nothing, but then suddenly remembered that she had a small jar of oil. She saw a glimmer of hope in the midst of despair. So on the surface, the widow only had a jar of oil, but in reality, she had the God who is the creator and provider of all things. So it is same with us. The God who we believe, feeds the sparrows and clothes the flowers in splendor. He created us and nurtures us. He loves us and cares for us. We must learn to rely more on Him and less on ourselves. We need to learn to count our blessings. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, let us focus on what we do have and let God use them for His glory. Elisha said to the lady, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars, etc. We already read that passage. Now, as you can see that passage here, a great miracle occurred. A small jar of oil became a lot of oil. This miracle allowed the widow to pay off her debts and still have more for the family to live on. Obviously, the widow's two sons must have been quite young and unable to work. Otherwise, they could have earned money and paid off debts. So, God not only helped them pay off the debts, but also provide more to help them to live on until the children were old enough to earn their living and take care of their widowed mother. Our lives are just like that. We were in debt of our sins. No matter what we do, we could never pay it back. We could only become slaves to sin and death. But because of God's love and mercy, He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, the sinless in place of the sinful. He paid the debt of our sins and redeemed our lives. Not only did He pay the debt of sin, but He also gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us so that we can have power to overcome sin and have victory every day. Lastly, this miracle, this miraculous event demonstrated this woman's faith and obedience to God. Have you noticed that Elisha only gave this widow half of the instruction? He told them to borrow empty jars, go inside and shut the door, pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Okay. What's all this oil for? Who knows? The widow also did not ask. When she was finished, she went back to Elisha. Elisha finally explained that the oil was to be sold for money. Have you thought about why Elisha did not explain things clearly from the start? I believe it is actually God's wisdom. If this widow had any doubts, she would not have gone around borrowing empty jars. It is hard for her to borrow things from her neighbors. They might worry that she would not return those borrowed goods, like she was so poor. They might not be friendly to her because she worshipped a different god. Nevertheless, the widow followed Elisha's instruction and borrowed as many jars as she could. Her action demonstrated her faith and obedience to God. And on the other hand, it is for her good that Elisha did not tell her the full plan. Imagine what would have happened if Elisha told everything to the widow and her sons. Perhaps greed could come into their hearts. They'd be tempted. Perhaps they would fill their house with so many containers, not just jars, and they could have drawn in the oil. We all know those quite a few feebles and talking about how greed could carry people to. And there's actually another biblical example of the opposite that can be found in 2 Kings chapter 13. Okay. Now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hand, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hand. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. There were two kings named Jehoash. Jehoash, king of Judah, was a good king, but Jehoash, king of Israel, was an idol worshiper. And the Bible described him as, so he did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He continued in them. That's worshipping those golden calves. Interestingly, King Jehoash went to see Elisha when he realized that Elisha was about to die. We don't know why he wept, but God saw his tears and had mercy on him. Elisha gave King Jehoash a dying blessing. You probably remember some famous dying blessings in the Old Testament. It was an ancient tradition that a dying father would give blessings and prophecies to his children. We saw quite a few in the book of Genesis. Elisha commanded three instructions to King Jehoash. He commanded one at a time, and the king followed without knowing what they mean. Then Elisha explained, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. You will completely destroy the Aramean at Aphek. This is a wonderful blessing for the king. You see, during the days of King Jehoash, Jehoahaz, the father of King Jehoash, the Aramean had oppressed Israel greatly. This is what the Bible describes. Nothing had been left of the army of Jehoahaz except 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 foot soldiers. For the king of Aram had destroyed the rest and made them like the dust at the threshing time. Yesterday I found out that New Zealand Defense Forces only had about 11,000 members, dropped down from 13,000. So that's a bit like that, eh? Anyway, it would be wonderful if Jehoash can defeat the Aramean. There would be peace in the kingdom of Israel. However, things changed when Elisha did not put his hand on the hand of the king. We read earlier passage mentioned about that. Elisha said, strike the ground. The king struck it three times and stopped. If there had been true obedience on the part of the king, he would have continued to strike the ground until Elisha told him to stop. Isn't it? Then he and his nation would have received the complete blessing and had a true victory over their enemy. Sadly, he did not do it. On the contrary, the widow obeyed Elisha, followed carefully every instruction given by Elisha, and received the complete blessing. This is often the case with God's guidance in our lives. He let us know one step at a time so that we can trust Him at every step. As we follow God step by step, we stay on the right path and avoid many unnecessary temptations. In conclusion, we have learned four spiritual principles from this God-fearing woman. Firstly, the wisest and the best decision is to seek God's help. Your difficulties may be caused by external factors, or they may be caused by your own weakness. However, whether or not they are caused by your own fault, we can always come back to God and ask for His help and His forgiveness. Secondly, on the surface, we may only have a small jar of oil, but in reality, we have the God who is the creator and provider of all things. What we have today is already much more than this widow. I'm sure none of us are in such a debt that we need to sell our children as slaves. I have 2 here. Don't worry. So we have much more than this widow. And so let us remind each other to rely on God when we encounter financial difficulties. We know the time is hard at the moment. People complain about that. So, yeah. And it is not to say that we don't help those who are in need financially. Instead, we learn to continue relying on God so that we are not tempted to steal or to take advantage of any legal loopholes, etc. And thirdly, Jesus paid off our debts of sins and we can live on the power of the Holy Spirit. It is an amazing miracle that we are living every day. We have been set free, like the two boys free from slavery. The Holy Spirit transformed and sustained us, like the abundance of oil that transformed and sustained this family in need. Praise the Lord. And fourthly, God guides us one step at a time. So let us obey Him each step at a time. It is by God's wisdom that He only shows us one step at a time, so that we are not too scared to follow Him. I'm sure you may have experienced that. May the Lord help us to humble ourselves and surrender ourselves to Him. May He help us to walk in His will step by step, so that we can receive complete blessings from Him and He receive all the glory. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.